I'm going to ask that you allow God to bring new lenses to you. Some of you literally wear lenses. Some of you, it's obvious. You've got your glass on the outside. You're very clear about that. Others sort of do that in another way that's less conspicuous. But we all come into rooms like this with different lenses, different viewpoints of God and how he should do things and what we should do and how we should respond. But I believe that God wants to put a lens on his church that is his and is reserved for the people of God, that they can see clearly. Remember the disciples, they walked with Jesus, but they still had their own lenses on of what was happening up until the Holy Spirit, by his power, applied a whole new way of seeing, and then they saw this is what Jesus was talking about. It's like the church across Australia and across the world needs the lenses of the gospel to be reintroduced, to be able to see clearly. And isn't it amazing that all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a constant thing about people being able to walk, the lame being healed, and blind eyes being opened. But when your eyes are open, there's still the reality that God wants to bring his vision. So this morning, this is not Coastland's vision you're going to hear. This is something that God has been speaking about to us as a people, about what he's always said to churches everywhere who would have the courage to go to the extent that it would lead them and the depth. Let the depth of it come to them in a way that would deliver them to the people around them in the power and the presence that God intended. It's a privilege to stand here this morning in front of a church where we get to preach this. We often say that across the world, you know, this is not something that always happens. That in different nations, for different reasons, for different governments, they are restricted from teaching. But I'm saying that even in communities in Australia, you sometimes can't preach with the freedom that I will be able to this morning. And Coastlands, I thank you for that opportunity and for that privilege. This has been a journey. I'd love to hear you just revel in it a little bit this morning as you hear things spark up that you know that we've walked through. And for those who you have come in, to be able to just align and say, amen, God is doing something with his church. What I want to talk to you about this morning is that God has been speaking to us as an eldership and about what it means to be a resurgent church. In the last few weeks, months, we've been talking about what it is when the people of God know that they are loved by God, how they live different, how when it's not about getting love from other things, that they live different. And when they live in the light, that it's actually a place of warmth and power, and that they actually are free of the things that were darkness, and now they walk in glorious light. And we're starting to lean into, in this next season, what it looks to love like Jesus, which is the most courageous part. Because you can actually be loved by God, and you can do that away from everybody and experience it. You can live in the light, and you can even try and keep it under a bushel, the Bible says. But when you start to love like Jesus, it gets a little louder. Everybody knows. And then you get to the joy of giving a reason for your faith. But this morning, we've really just been stirring over the last few months that God's actually, that the last 20 years haven't been the reality of what the church is going to be for the next 20. That God wants to do a resurgent work in the churches in Adelaide, in Australia, and across the globe that sets them back to being loved, knowing they're loved by God. Knowing that they walk in the light, knowing that they actually are loved, they are able to love like Jesus and do it despite persecution, challenges, or any other intimidation. In fact, God would cause them to be so intimately acquainted with his heart, so intentional about what they're doing, that they become those who are actually called intimidators. You know, that was the claim against the church in Acts. Whilst they were trying to love Jesus, knowing that they'd received this, that they were actually called the intimidators, that they were actually scary. I was reminded this morning of 1905 when the Salvation Army was the most feared group of people on the planet, that even communism feared their very presence in their land. Isn't that interesting? By 2005, they were most acceptable. This morning, we're sitting in a place that God has delivered to us, a building, a space, a, a place. But friends, this is not the end. This is the beginning. This is the launch point of everything he was planning. And I was thinking this week that the God equation of the gospel is actually very simple. And sometimes we make it very complex. That if the gospel is lived out through our lives every day, not just something we did and I was saved and I heard the gospel and that message was great for me and then I moved on. But if it's everyday reality for us, like Tim and Carla were saying, 7 days of being delivered to the promise of Jesus, saved every day in the salvation reality of God. If Christ is actually determined to engage us and engage what we've experienced to everybody, it's possible the kingdom of God could go everywhere. I'm not saying it'll be accepted by everybody. I'm just saying that it could be engaged by everybody. Gospel every day plus Christ to everybody equals kingdom everywhere. It's the closest thing I've got to algorithms, friends. So if God wants to resurge his church, and it's actually a very simple equation of what he wants to do in us. The gospel every day, his heart for us, his desire for us to live in that place. Christ to everybody, that through that gospel, not something we do, something he's done, and his kingdom could go everywhere, then what's the problem? Well, we live in a planet and a place that may not worship the same God that we worship, the same person that we love. The one that we know has brought light and the one who can bring his kingdom everywhere. And so as we sort of arrived as a church, as we built and saw this building built up under God and we were able to walk it through as a community, and then we're like, God, what's this for? Where does this go? Having some inkling that we knew that God was doing something in and through us. We felt like this day, September 24, 2023, was going to be important to come together in Christ, before we go together in Christ. The emphasis on go. Everybody, everywhere. 2023, 2022 has been an interesting year. I'm just going to give some intro because I wanted just to settle and be real about where the world has been at. And then we're going to talk about what Jesus is going to do into it, okay? It's going to escalate quickly. Are you okay? I'm just like letting you attach your seatbelts and everybody know where everything is. It felt like the 2022-23 has been a line in the sand moment. Through different things that have happened, pandemics and challenges and then, you know, escalating costs of living, we've all had to draw a line in the sand and actually say, how are we going to live into the future? Not how did we live, that's gone. How are we going to live? And many of us have gone, I'm drawing a line in the sand, whether you know it or not, might just relieve you this morning. And line in the sand and said, I'm not going back. I'm never doing that. I'm not going to that again. I'm looking forward. And there's been an encouragement and change has caused, you know, the change has caused us to have to do those things. But as we move forward, we're really just sensing that God is saying, it's not just line in the sand now. As we look forward into 2023, 2024, actually, it's about putting a stake in the ground. Actually saying, and this is the territories and the places in which we will live and see that gospel equation outworked as a church and individually. And when we started this journey 7 years ago, we might have thought that was just, you know, somewhere in Adelaide or somewhere in Brighton or somewhere in a building. Right now, it looks like the ends of the earth. That God is actually extending and bringing us alongside churches everywhere to be able to engage the bigger picture and enjoy it. Our name is Coastlands as a church. That name is not the thing that leads us. Jesus is the one that leads us. It's like our last name. It's like the family that he's put on this planet. But Coastlands, if you read Isaiah 49 to 55, is a very interesting name that all has ends of the earth tendencies. And his plan and his promise and his purpose is unwavering. Now, this stake in the ground, it's not like plotting out a little piece of land for each one of us that where they're going to go and build on. You know, the stakes you see on those, you know, allotments out there. It's not like go out and pick a patch and put your little stake in the ground and say, well, this will be my territory and we'll be community. And then people put up fences and walls and it's not really community at all. This is like the stake that we see in Old Testament language, where the tabernacle that was referred to, even on the New Testament, as the picture of God's expansive tent, his grace, his mercy covering the earth, where each one, as a stake in the ground, put their stake in the ground and said, God, I will bear the weight that you've called me to bear, but he is central to it. Which means I was having this picture, and we were ruminating this week. You know, this is what the tabernacle looked like. It was very oldie-worldy and, you know, very interesting. And the sides were pulled down. And in Isaiah 55, it says they're lifted up to welcome people in. But that was a tabernacle that was reserved for the dwelling place of God. And as our lives, as that stake goes in the ground, it's like stretches out to say, I'm available. I'm ready for what you're going to do. That might be an individual reality for you. But I'm saying today, actually, it's a corporate one. I don't know where this picture lands. Maybe it's in the 1920s, but it's like those big tents where they had revivals where everybody was welcome. And the central pole is Jesus Christ. The central reality of his church is Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They stand at the center of all of this. And it's like as we take up with our lives and put the stake in the ground, we stretch out and say, let your kingdom come here. It's not an individual territory thing. And that thing is so important for us because there are people that we don't know, people we do know, who want to come in to the reality of what God's doing. But please do not picture that tent as somewhere just over Brighton. Picture of it reaching to the ends of the earth and wherever we stake our hearts and say, Jesus, your kingdom come. Amen? So there's a challenge that comes with this too. We don't like the word challenge. You know what they say in schools now? There's a growth opportunity. Sorry, teachers, I've let the cat out of the bag. Instead of change, because change causes all people to go, well, I like change. I want change for everybody else, just not me, you know? So instead we have growth mindset and growth ideas and, you know, this is an opportunity for you to grow. But it is actually an opportunity for us to grow. Sorry, I'm Australian. I've got a little bit of satire and cynicism. All right. In the line, in the sand, and the stake in the ground, there is a determination that we say, God, at this point, we're not just going to go on and now as a nice church in Brighton that's got its established building, that we're going to sit here now and say, hey, we're going to wait for heaven. That is not what God has called us to. Rather, we get an opportunity to choose to be a movement of God and not a mechanism of man once again. This is the point, friends and families, young people, where churches either get old and stale and become monuments, or they take hold of everything God has. The next generation comes through. The older generation encourages them. Isn't that amazing we have that? Thank you, guys. And we get to walk into a fully engaged, fully contributing, connected group of people saying, well, the movement of God among us. Spirit of God to be the defining feature that delivers his kingdom, not some mechanism of man. That we actually want to be Christ-inspired. So this morning, I'm sorry, I'm not a very good aspirational teacher, but I am desperate for you to be inspired by Christ. Desperate for you to be inspired by Christ because that makes us intentional towards the people that we're engaging with the gospel. Not an aspiration that walks into a room, hears a few cool things and walks out and forgets it on Monday. Of course, that doesn't happen, does it, church? Why are you getting uncomfortable? Come on, this is Coastlands. We know these things. So as we were drawn around these things and saying, God, what are you saying here? God spoke to us as a leadership, and I'm going to say leadership, I'm saying eldership, all leaders, everyone who is involved in leading here, about the reality of what God wants to do. There was this moment in Samuel, 2 Samuel 7, where David has reached a point where all the kingdoms have been subdued. He's now king of Israel in all the territories, and there's this moment of rest. And him and Nathan, the prophet, are sitting, you know, probably just kicking back and saying, wow, look what God's done. And we need to do that, friends, right? That was not unbiblical. Taking a moment today in the glorious sunshine of September. And we're saying, God, look what you have done. Look what you're moving in and through us. And they were doing that. And in verse 1 it says, now when the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. That just sounds right, doesn't it? You know, just go and do what you feel to do now. We've all been through a lot. Imagine Nathan the prophet. I mean, he'd had to walk alongside David. David was a handful. He'd been through a lot of things. Sometimes Nathan was commending him. Other times he was completely rebuking him and drawing him out of sin so that the people did not suffer. Anyway, they're having this moment, and Nathan, the prophet, has this moment of going, yeah, I think we've all done well. We should pat ourselves on the back. And if you feel that God needs a house, you go and build it. But that same night, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling, in a place where I have moved with all the people of Israel. Did I not speak a word with any of the judges of Israel who commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I tell you, from the pasture, from the following of the sheep, he remembers exactly where David came from and reminds him, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all of your enemies from you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones on the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares, he's not finished yet, declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. He will make you a house. Doesn't God do that? He flips everything on its head. We're like, God, we'd like to do good things for you. And he's like, do you know what I've done for you? I want to let you know that I have done everything and provided everything and made everything possible, and I'm going to do it. Isn't that a great reminder? When we think we've got something to give. When your days are fulfilled, he's still going, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up for you after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. This is the next generation. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men and with stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, and I, as I took it from Saul, who I put away before you, from you. And the house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all the vision, Nathan spoke this to David. David says, here's a good idea. God goes, let me remind you. I will be doing this. Isn't that cool? I will be taking up coastlands. You know, sometimes we have good ideas for God's, for God. And we're like, God, here's a plan. Here's what you could do with this building, this thing, this people in Brighton. And he turns around and goes on an epilogue and says, I have plans that are not fulfilled yet. And I want to see them fulfilled in you and for you. And I'll be making the provisions. We've been studying 2 Peter, 1 Peter. I'll be making the provisions here. I will be delivering these things. And whenever you guys think that you're doing it, it's going to be a problem. So join me in what I'm doing. This is a reminder from the Old Testament, but it carries through to the New. The reality of Jesus standing like the picture of the one who is an avenue for us to walk in everything that God has for us. And so as we picture that tent, sometimes we can think, oh, God's got to do that in my life. God is doing that in all of our lives, and he's building us together as a canopy of grace in this region and beyond. To wherever you extend, to wherever you go, wherever your tent peg lands, God will extend his kingdom. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to do some paraphrasing. Please read these scriptures if you're part of our family. 2 Samuel 7, 2 Samuel 8. But the key things is that God doesn't want us to build him a house. We're not here to build things for God. But God does want us to be built up into his household. The best picture on the planet for your friends, my friends, those who don't know Jesus, my biggest enemies, your biggest enemies, to come into the kingdom is if we are built together as a loving spiritual household of God. That's always been the picture. It's always been the plan. In John 15, Jesus says it this clearly to his friends, and I say it to you as his friends today. In verse 7, he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Who does it in you? If you abide in Jesus and his words abide in you, his truth, then you ask. See, if you're asking, whose words are you asking with? If his words abide in you. Come on. His words. If his words abide in you and you ask, it's his words that come out. And the Father says, "I recognize those words. They're from my Son, Jesus, who's the Word. Therefore, I will do it." Oh, man. And you will bear fruit. And that will please the Father. And the Father loves bearing fruit because that's why he sent the Son, so that each of us would bear fruit and you will prove to be the disciples. What is this fruit then, Ben? Verse 16, "You did not choose me. I chose you." This sounds like David. This sounds like David's calamity again. "But I thought I chose Jesus on that day where I put my hand up and I said, 'Jesus, you've come into my life. Now we can do stuff together.' And Jesus was like, 'No, I chose you. I picked you. Now you can do stuff with me together.'" "But I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that you should have fruit that abides, lasts, remains, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I commanded you so that you will love one another." What was the purpose? What was the plan? Why did he want us to bear fruit? Fruit that comes from loving one another and being loved by God. As God calls us, we get an opportunity to firstly let our gospel reality come to our mind. God, you're doing this. David gets an opportunity to go, "You're doing this. You've always been doing this. You've called me. You've actually chosen. You've actually appointed. You've actually set this place and time. All I'm doing is responding to you." The peg in the ground isn't this, you know, hard moment of "I've got to stick it in the ground." No, it's actually God has provided this for you. He's just asking, do you want to join him? Do you want to join him? And so what we join is this relief effort. Our mind gets relieved by the fact that God is doing this. And we join the relief effort to bring that to others. Cosigns, this will be so significant in the next season where people's minds are not coping with the reality of the world that we're in and the reality of everything they're walking through. Gospel-minded reality will be so important. Join the relief effort, and in that you get relieved and you get to see others relieved in all the things that we're talking about today. I love that in 2 Samuel, he talks about releasing captives. He talks about, this is God talking to David, inviting renewal, the whole vision of purpose. Our nation has a crisis of purpose. It doesn't know what it's doing and why it's doing it. And yet God has a purpose on offer that is exponential, powerful, and aligns everything. Ben, what do you mean? How many times are you really faced with the question, what am I doing with my life? That gives you the answer of the crisis of purpose that we have in our nation. It's not just a crisis of identity, it's a crisis of purpose. And when Jesus is at the center. Now, Coastlands, many of you will be like, I know this, Ben, this is resonating, this is real. It's going to go out faster and more accelerated than you've ever experienced, not because of something we do, but because he's decided and he's chosen. And some of you already might have discovered strange happenings where friends of yours or colleagues or work colleagues seem to be inquiring and asking of you things they didn't used to ask a few years ago. Oh, this is strange. No, it's not strange. Remember 2 Peter? These things are, 1 Peter, these things are not strange. They are normal when the people of God are being who they're called to be. The second thing we get to provide is an opportunity to be gospel-hearted, provide refuge to people. Just as we've received refuge from Jesus, so he gives the opportunity for others to receive refuge. This is not a program. This is in everything we do. Gospel-minded, gospel-hearted. When our hearts were relieved from the weight of sin and the challenges of a purpose that was going to be limited by death, and then was relieved and refuged in the truth and the knowledge that Jesus' kingdom is forever, suddenly we transcended the death that was going to be for our lives and have eternal life. People need to know that their heart can be lifted and receive what God has intended. Things like David speaks about, because what happened was in chapter 7, God says, this is what's going to happen. And then David responds and he just opens his hands and he says, God, sorry, I forgot who you were. Again, David, of all people, I forgot that you have bigness beyond what I can think. And suddenly he opens his hands, and in chapter 8, he opens his hands and says, God, you are who you said you are. You will do this. You will deliver this. And then he, what does he do? Walk out of the meeting, forgets about it, and goes home? No. He went and got on with who and what God had called him to do, even more intentionally than before. He went after things. He went out and he redeemed and rescued whole territories. He set apart servants of God from the slaves they were under different rulerships. He went into places and subdued enemies. He sanctified places in peace. He saw the stronghold of the Lord come where there had been strongholds of other persuasions. This is the gospel, friends. That's what refuge looked like. Not huddling together in a corner like a sheep and a little sheep, group of sheep stuck in a pen, but going out with the ferocity and the clarity of the freedom of Jesus, knowing that everywhere our feet shall tread, he will give to us. Nothing about this looks like holding on for heaven. And some of the younger people in the room aren't even thinking about that right now. There are older people. There is a challenge for that. You know, once you've got everything set in place, it's not drifting into the sunset. Because God has called us to restore godly order wherever we are so that people can experience what it's like to have his peace and his joy. When they come into his kingdom, there should be a difference, a big difference. And we've got to own that, not be, oh, you know, we don't want to look different to the world. We do. Completely different. In our peace, grace, our joy, understanding. And I just feel God wants to really release that today upon different ones of us to hear what God is saying, that God wants to restore his order. What does that look like? Jesus first in our lives. Everything else prioritizes after that. That's the simplest version I can give you. Whatever you're doing is Jesus first. In your time management, in your gifting use, because you know you've been given a gift. You don't just go to workplace with a talent. You go with God's gift, right? That's his. With your finances, with your generosity, God first, Christ first. I've got to pay the mortgage, Ben. We do. In what order? Anyway, sorry, I digress. Because God wants to establish his peace and his covenant with his people so that as people see the people of God, as they come in here, they feel it immediately. There's a genuineness, there's a relationship. We've heard many reports of that because of who you are in God. The genuineness, the peace, the God of God is among you. But we want them to experience themselves. We want it to be an invitation to them to join that relief effort, that refuge, that gospel effective place. And so we are in a place as a church saying, God, how do we simplify these things? Our lives preach that Jesus lives. Do you know your life is a living testimony? It's a billboard that says Jesus lives. He's alive. Every day, when you walk to towards someone, you're really proclaiming Jesus lives here. What we know, the effect of that has been in our lives is we become single-minded, pure-hearted, and now open-handed. As we study 1 Peter, this was the little triptych. If you missed that and you weren't there, these are three of the big things that come out of that. That a church can be single-minded, pure-hearted, and open-handed. This affects the way we live towards others. Open-handed. As our hands open up. As God says, get ready to receive what I'm giving. Oh, no thanks, God. I'd rather hold on to what I've got because I don't know what that's going to look like. Open your hands. God, what might you do? What might you deliver? Our lives preach Jesus and his opening of all that we can walk into. We proclaim Jesus reigns in everything that we do. We say, Jesus reigns coming. Amen. In our lives. Because we've understood that the kingdom has been established, so we belong to his kingdom, that we're here to build up what he's doing. Tear down what's not him. And to go beyond us. Maturity helps us. You know, when it says in Ephesians 4, so that the church, it's actually saying mission helps the church mature. As we start going towards others, there's a maturity of heart that comes upon us that says, I'm not going to be thinking about myself. When we're very young, we think only about ourselves. And there's a few ages of independence that we walk through where we probably think about ourselves a little bit more than we should. But as you mature, now I'm not counting age as maturity, just hear me in that. I'm talking about growth in Christian reality, spiritual. We have more and more a mind towards others in a growing family. I've seen grandparents, I'm not a grandparent, but I've seen grandparents who just look at their grandkids and they are not thinking about themselves. They're thinking about that next generation. And they love the fact that they are able to give them all the love with not all of the responsibility. But they stir and they desire, but their heart is for that generation. Because it goes beyond them. And so we're preparing for Jesus' return, friends. Like John the Baptist in the first coming of Jesus, the church is heralding to the earth, prepare, he's coming back. We want you to be here with us in the relief effort. Return to Jesus in the place where God will do all he wants to do until that time. And so that's where the global impact from every life in every place becomes every day towards everyone, everywhere. You know, that's not my phrase, right? I'm just wanting to be clear about this. These phrases come out of Scripture. They are incredibly challenging. If it was just a church phrase, we might say most days, particularly Sunday, to most people, particularly the ones we like, and to the places we've decided we everywhere want to go. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is expansive. It gets your hands open and says, hold them open. You must let people be released. You must let people be opened, and you must receive what I'm bringing to you. And your hands get stuck in this pose. Not because Beanie did a great worship song, but because this is how the gospel has made you. You can embrace people, you can release people, you can engage people, you can sow into their lives. There will be painful times, there will be promise-filled times, there will be all sorts of moments. It's an invitation. The gospel is not easy, but it is full. And the joy set before you is before us. Now, I've got 13 minutes to land this. So this is going to be a flurry. And some of you are not going to be able to take it in. And therefore, we have recordings and online. And you will be able to go and pick it apart and review it in that time. And I encourage you to do it because we spend a lot of time on it. Little phrase that came out, Gavin had saw this online. Do you know, global impact, that in this circle, there are more people than outside of it? Do you see that little circle there? That's not the moon. That is a circle over the Asia-Pacific region. There are more people in that circle than out of it, in that corner of the globe, our next-door neighbours, and the region that we're a part of. Isn't that interesting? Striking, I would say. And so we need to be reminded that with everything that's about to come, we are empowered every day. We are engaging everyone by His grace. We are encouraging one another every time we meet because we need encouragement. And we're establishing things wherever He wants it to be done. It's a very open-handed moment. And Coastlands, we are a part of that. We've just been looking at, hey, how do we report best? Maybe the best way we can report is as a health report and sort of forecast. We know that God is doing something in us as a church that reveals the heart. There's a desire that He's kept for us, as for the community of Coastlands, for this place as an example and as a launch point alongside of all other churches. I do not want to be where the it and the bit. We are an aspect. We are a community, but there is God's work in us. That God is wanting to release His heart towards us, and we've got to have our hands open to receive that. That He grows the future. Whatever we sow, He does it. I want you to hear that today. And that He gives the life. We are not going to be stirring up anything by great personality or programs. It will be through the person, the plan, and the promises of Jesus as it always has been. That's what we'll be centered on in all of our teaching, preaching, engagements as it has been. But Coastlands Church, there's a steady momentum building among you. Yes, you've been talking and I've been listening and I've been hearing what's in your hearts and I've been watching and the eldership's been hearing. There's a stirring occurring in our hearts that's got to get to a resonant roar. Amen? And that stirring is momentum building towards, God, would you do this? It's not we're saying pridefully, we'll do this for you, God. No, no, God, would you do this? Would you set this in our hearts? Community care. We've got to be ready to maximize what is going to happen through our community. All hands on deck for whatever God wants us to walk in. And advance Asia Pacific, there is an identifying of what God wants to do in our region, a multiplying, a planting that is stirring upon us. I didn't choose it. We didn't choose it. You didn't choose it. He chose it. There is a vast Australian land where there are churches that need to be planted. Some churches need to be restored. Some churches need to be raised up from where they're out of the ashes. Coastlands has a restoration journey that can aid with that. But there are many churches that need to be planted where there are people sitting right now and they could be raised up. God has started to invade that, and that's part of our heart for the season ahead. In Australia, alongside of other churches in the region. Our family forecast, in simple terms, is, guys, we opened a larger space at the start of the year. This was opened up. Some of you enjoyed that. It's been opened up. It was opened up for a reason. Yes! 3 people said amen. There's a larger space opened up to us. A new frontage that said something to the people outside of us that you might have actually heard. One gentleman walked into the community. He's like, I'm glad you got the front sorted out. I'm like, thank you. It's most helpful. He'd been in Brighton 20 years just waiting for someone to sort the front out. Great. Glad we could help you, mate. We're all about your aesthetic pleasure. Anyway, the family has seen weekly gatherings and regionals grow back to pre-COVID levels where there's a stirring and an emphasis, a sharpness about what God's doing. Wherever we're gathering, I'm saying, there's something of the stirring of the importance of what God is wanting to do among us. The next generation, the youth now led by a whole team that is developing and increasing in the participation in youth and young adults is stirring with what God has for its future. And we want to see God breathe in the way we've just talked into these places. We don't now forget what we've just heard and then go, now we're going to go and do some things. No, no, this is how we walk in these things. seeing teams raised up, seeing people invigorated and God start to move in that powerful way. What do we need to prepare for? We've had a larger space. We've had weekly gatherings that are showing health. We've got next generation coming through, other generations holding on to what God has done in them and through them. And I'll speak a little bit more about that in a second. But we are preparing for things that are expansive. If you've got a larger space, you need a larger space. Get ready to have people join your circle. Don't close the circle, open the circle. Sundays. We're going to see two services that we haven't been doing two services for a long time. I'm going to see that across the global week. It might even get us used to it. Why? Maybe God wants to bring people. Now, just so you're clear, this is a Vision Sunday for you guys. From now to February, where we set out together, we're going to be ruminating on these things with you. Saying, God, what are you doing among us? What are you stirring? This is like just getting the family on the same page again, saying, these are the things we always know. Now, how does this look among us as we walk together? The teaching will remain inspired by Christ, not aspirational. The leadership intentionally wanting to train and release more leaders. Next gen coming through, creative team, worship, production, recording. These things are what we're preparing for in the next season. Community groups, more midweek engagements, maybe even shifts and adjustments in the regional locations to be more effective. Incubating and releasing more lighthouse groups, those who are in homes, and serve team. We need to see our serve teams who have been such an amazing picture of serving the family, but also getting together across Adelaide, from people across Adelaide, but reinvigoration and reset for the next season, ready to go for what God has called us to. Part of a family is we have finances. So our financial report was pretty much conducted before our most senior group. We had had our accountants come in and speak to us and say, hey, this is where it's at. And we'd sat as a eldership team and had to digest where we've been over the last year. And then I went to the seniors, the young seniors. They've asked me to call them the young seniors. They said if the young adults were called the young adults, they're going to be called the young seniors. So that's now a name change. That's an announcement this morning. The young seniors. And they grilled me with all of these questions. Gavin told me I was coming in to do a devotion. I needed one afterwards. Anyway, it was fantastic. All right. It was great. You guys are amazing. So questions that the young seniors asked me. How are we going with finances? Well, this is the graph that Barry and Nev have put forward to me, which probably adequately describes it. We were in a place at about $50,000 a month, and we're now at about $46,000 a month, and our expenses have increased significantly. That gap is before God right now. And that's been increasing for a little while now. So we are wanting to say, please make sure that God is first in your life, in your time, your finances, and your gifting. Because as a community, we walk this out together. And that little graph is a picture of a lot more figures and all of those things that are still together. But in simple terms, our giving is not keeping up with our expenses, and mainly because of our new loan. But there are other reserves that have been eroded over the last few months. So the second question they ask are the leadership and the eldership getting paid if we're being restricted in that way? It's a week-to-week proposition. Our reserves got used in the gap. Does that make sense? We all try and keep our savings. I'm sure that in your household, you've had some erosion of reserves. And you've tried to walk that through with the different pressures of time. We are the same. We're always reviewing, God, what are you doing? And how can we best serve you in this and steward this? So giving at times has dropped up to 25% when we were probably budgeting a 5% increase from the previous years. Another very interesting question was how much of the community is giving? Well, I'm going to leave that to the community to answer. Is that okay, seniors? Yes, okay, all right. How much of the community is giving? That was a very good question as well. I don't know what you give. I know that I stand before God knowing that we will steward everything he brings in a way that God has directed us. And my role is to walk with the team in stewarding that in a way that is not underhanded, transparent. That's why we put these things before you. So that you can give to God knowing that that can happen. So that gap has been created by a massive spreadsheet, which none of you will probably take in except for the accountants in the room. The reality of it is that we sat at this point and we're thankful for every person who is giving, because often what happens in these moments is the people who don't need to hear it, and the people who really need to hear it don't hear it, okay? So I just want to say thank you so much, Coastlands, for your generosity. And we're part of Coastlands, so we're with, in this with you. But the reality of it is that that's our total income, $697 for the last year. And our church expenses meant that we have a deficit of $50,000 for the year. The second line here is our budget, where we're hoping to go. Now, we're not silly enough to think that with the start we've had that we're going to get into surplus territory, but we would love to think that we could get back to where we had hoped to, which is $780,000 for the year. And our expenses have gone up because of our loan figure there. You can see that's increased significantly. So the gap at the moment is about a $56,000 gap over the few months that we've been walking this out. Okay? So there's my financial side coming out. Separate to that, beyond us, we've given $15,000 into Advance and Global nationally, which has helped to establish churches and is setting up things for the future. And in community care, there was $221,669 given this year, of about $17,000 to $18,000 has been given out. Because we're not here to build bank accounts. We want to see people supplied and engaged. Community care is our charity arm. So that was really amazing to be able to have those things out there. Where we're going for the future is we're trusting that God would deliver these things. Here's the headlines if you went to sleep when the figures came up. 2024 church giving budget projected. Really want to see at a minimum $620,000 come in from what we're actually contributing as a community. 2024 facilities budget, there are many things that are yet to be done that you can't see. We tried to do everything with this building that you could see, but there's a stage I'm not yet standing on, but not everybody is as short as, or tall as I am. And in future, if you want to be able to see people up here preaching, giving words, and those sort of things, it would help to have the stage in. The walls with soundproofing, all of those sort of things. We've left out whatever we could because we've had to make budget. But hear me, there are things to come that need to be provided for. Our back rooms with the kids' rooms there, we would love to furnish them and make sure our kids can have that outdoor, indoor space at the back there. At the moment, they're great sports rooms. They're very hard-wearing, but they're not the future vision that we have. There are a lot more things that need to be done and won in that space. So we're looking towards not only our building fund addressing those things, but also some of the loss that we've had in regard to our loan facility. So we're looking for God to provide those things. We look to God. We don't necessarily look to people, but we know that God uses people. Amen? Good things that are coming up from there is that global support. We're seeing an increase in global support. This is funding towards the nations as our heart gets wider and our hands get more open. We're really trusting that can be around $45,000. I think that's very, very nominal compared to what it could be. I think it was about, what was it this year? Okay, we'll go back to the last slide. You saw this year was at 15. We would love to get that up to a significant amount so we can bless other churches in our region and set things in place to be able to plant and strengthen churches. Community care has been so helpful in stirring our hearts for the future. Received $21,000, given out $17,000. We'd love to see that increasing over the next year. Again, that is nominal. That is a tax-deductible entity. Really helpful for us if we're giving to that space. Finally, as we go towards our health check for mission, and this is starting to become a bigger thing in our community as we become more healthy and strong as a community to walk these things through. Local community care, we've relaunched CAP budgeting courses. We've launched the Coastlands Cafe that you heard about earlier for connection and support. We've also prepared to be able to get ready for more life skills courses that have life training, things for life, things that would help people walk into the fruitfulness of God that we've talked about today. Preparing to provide practical community assistance, things that are stirring. Now, by Set Out Sunday, we want to be in a place where we can start saying, hey, guys, let's all get involved in these things. But right now, we're dreaming and preparing for what God has for us. Global, we're launching a new regional hub in Australia for the Asia Pacific. That is happening in the next few weeks. That means legal entity for this region. That comes with responsibility. And that comes with a setting, and that will be out of Coastlands, but also join other churches with it. New Frontiers Global Conference, Trina and I have been invited to be in their New Frontiers Global Conference in the next couple of weeks. And so we're making our way towards seeing that we can do that. What that would do is not just expose us to hundreds of churches across the world, but actually thousands. Some of the churches that New Frontiers have in Ukraine, Russia, and these places where they have been planting for many years is such an interesting engagement for us to have in the season, and particularly in the Asia Pacific. In the Asia Pacific hub leaders, we're going to be hosting these guys here. On the weekends, we're going to get the benefit of engaging those who've come in from the Asia Pacific, India, Nepal, Thailand, our region, that little circle. We've got people showing interest from South Korea. Two church plants happening in South Korea in October. So they won't be with us because they're planting churches. Isn't that exciting? Traralgon, these guys will be coming across to be with us. People from different regions in Australia coming in to engage in what God's doing and in a very embryonic way say, God, what would you do among us in the nations? And during the week, we're going to host them in a more specific conference for this region. And so thank you for those who are hosting in houses and with food and all of those sort of things that you've already offered to contribute. It's part of Coastland's DNA to support these people when they're here. Advance Global, some advance notice. If you want to be a part of the conference that Advance runs with all of these churches across the world that we are affiliated with, then on the 7th to the 11th to the 10th of May in Houston, Texas, in USA next year, start planning. October 1, apparently, tickets open. We'll get you more information. That's in Houston, Texas, with Brian and Rachel Barr, who run a large church there, and they're going to be hosting everyone. I'm sure they're a little nervous about that. If you are beating with a heart for Nepal, there is a conference every year in March. And I know there's a couple of people who I could already flag. Graham Hill's already spoken to me. Brian Sinclair. There's a few people who've already spoken to me. There's Travis, you know, about their heart for these places. These are the moments to put in your mind and say, God, these are connections with the churches beyond us. This is a place where God wants to build his kingdom. And then Thailand, we're looking at a visit possibly in October and November. And we'll look at that with Dan and Marsha and see what God will do with that. Regional churches, whether it's Northern Territory, York Peninsula, Victoria, even Victoria, friends. God's starting to do things in those places, stirring it up. And the far reaches of the earth. Thank you, Dave. So, Ben, it's 11:35 and we need to finish and we need to close. And all the elders are saying to me, please finish up. What do we need to take away from today? I know there's a lot of information there. That as a community, and maybe Beanie wants to come with the band, as a community, we get to actually say, who are we together? What are we resonating with? There's a gospel awareness that comes when we wear the lenses that he's provided us. There's a gospel obedience that stirs us, and there's a gospel effectiveness that awaits us as a people of God. As we resolve in our hearts what we believe together, we get to bring gospel relief, his refuge, and his restoration, not just to our nation, but to the nations. And our response today, I love to think that as we sort of lift our eyes and our hearts and our song, is that we realize that as his family and his body and his army, single-minded, pure-hearted, and now open-handed, that the hospitality and the generosity, all the gifts that sit in this room and the availability, that we get to be as creative as God wants us to be with bringing that preaching of Jesus lives, that preaching of proclaiming that Jesus reigns, that preparing for Jesus' return. Every day, everybody we engage and everywhere has the opportunity to be established in Christ, build up and advancing in their own sense.